What is sexual immorality? It's a question that stirs curiosity, sparks debates, and leads many to seek clarity from the Word of God. Welcome back to Old Time Preaching, where we don't shy away from tough conversations. Here, we boldly tackle topics like the meaning of whore and harlot in the Bible, whether sex before marriage is a sin, and what Scripture says about being gay. We are committed to teaching the unchanging truth of God's Word and offering resources like short, powerful sermons to help you navigate life's big questions. Whether it's understanding abortion in the Bible or the biblical role of women in ministry, we're here to bring clarity. Today we'll dive deep into what the Bible teaches about sexual immorality, what it is, why it matters, and how we, as believers, can live in obedience to God's design. Let's get started. Sexual immorality, as defined in the Bible, encompasses any sexual behavior that violates God's holy design for human relationships. The term sexual immorality comes from the Greek word porneia, which refers broadly to all forms of sexual sin, including premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, pornography, and lust. God has made it clear in Scripture that sexual intimacy is a gift meant to be enjoyed within the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman. Anything outside of that sacred boundary is what the Bible calls sexual immorality. Hebrews 13:4 states, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge." God's standard is clear. All sexual activity outside of marriage is sin. Understanding sexual immorality begins with recognizing God's character and His intention for human sexuality. In Genesis 1:27, we learn that God created us male and female in His image, with a purposeful design for our bodies and relationships. Genesis 2:24 reveals that marriage was instituted by God as a union between one man and one woman, a relationship marked by intimacy, fidelity, and holiness. This one-flesh union reflects the covenant relationship between Christ and His church, as described in Ephesians 5:31-32. Sexual intimacy within marriage is sacred. But sexual immorality distorts this gift and dishonors the Creator. When people engage in sexual sin, they rebel against God's authority and violate His perfect design. One of the most striking examples of God's perspective on sexual immorality comes from the story of Gomer in the book of Hosea. Hosea, a prophet, was commanded by God to marry Gomer, a woman described as a prostitute. Her repeated unfaithfulness to Hosea became a living parable of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. Just as Gomer pursued other lovers, Israel had turned away from God to worship idols, breaking the covenant He had made with them. Yet, despite Gomer's immorality, Hosea obeyed God's command to pursue her, redeem her, and restore her as his wife. In Hosea 3:1, God says to Hosea, "Go again. Love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods." The story of Hosea and Gomer is a vivid reminder of the devastating nature of sexual immorality and unfaithfulness. Gomer's actions cause shame, brokenness, and separation, just as our sin separates us from God. But it also reveals the heart of God, a heart that longs for repentance and reconciliation. Hosea's relentless love for Gomer mirrors God's relentless love for His people. No matter how far we have strayed, God offers forgiveness and restoration to those who turn back to Him. Paul provides further warnings about the dangers of sexual immorality throughout his epistles. Adultery, for example, is explicitly condemned in the Ten Commandments. "You shall not commit adultery," Exodus 20:14. Jesus expanded on this in Matthew 5:27-28. teaching that even lustful thoughts are a form of adultery in the heart. Sexual immorality also includes premarital sex, often referred to as fornication, and same-sex relations, which are described in Romans 1:24-27 as dishonoring God's natural design. Paul frequently warned early Christians to flee from sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 6:18, because it uniquely damages the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sexual immorality is not only an offense against God, it is also destructive to individuals and communities. Proverbs 5:3-5 cautions against the allure of sexual sin, saying, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Sexual immorality may offer temporary pleasure, but it ultimately leads to shame, broken relationships, and spiritual death. By contrast, obedience to God's commands brings lasting peace and joy. The story of Gomer underscores this truth. Sexual sin, though enticing, leads to devastation. Yet it also offers profound hope. When Gomer was enslaved and hopeless, Hosea redeemed her. This act of redemption points directly to Christ, who redeems us from the bondage of sin. Just as Hosea paid the price to bring Gomer back, Jesus paid the ultimate price, his own life, to rescue us from the penalty of sin. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, Paul reminds us, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Sexual sin desecrates this temple and dishonors the one who redeemed us at such great cost. For those who have fallen into sexual immorality, there is hope and forgiveness in Christ. The gospel declares that no sin is beyond the reach of God's grace. In John 8, when the woman caught in adultery was brought before Jesus, he did not condemn her, but instead told her, "Go and sin no more." This demonstrates that while God's standard is uncompromising, his mercy is abundant for those who repent. 1 John 1:9 assures us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Through Christ's death and resurrection, believers have the power to overcome sin and live in purity. In a world where sexual immorality is often celebrated, Christians must remember that their bodies are not their own. As Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." Sexual immorality is not simply a matter of personal preference or cultural trends. It is a rebellion against the Creator and a distortion of his good design. Yet God's grace is sufficient to redeem and restore those who turn to him in repentance and faith. The fight against sexual immorality is not one we face alone. God has given us his Spirit, his Word, and his Church to equip and encourage us in the pursuit of holiness. We must rely on these resources to resist temptation and live lives that glorify him. Sexual immorality is a sin that destroys, but the grace of God restores. The story of Gomer reminds us that no matter how far someone has fallen, forgiveness and restoration are available through the relentless love of God. May we, as God's people, flee from sexual immorality, honor him with our bodies, and reflect his holiness in a world that so desperately needs his truth. Let us trust in his word and proclaim his grace, knowing that he is faithful to cleanse and redeem all who turn to him in repentance.